It's moon traveling. Now I am
Hi, Aaron.
Hello, Matthew. How are you?
Happy. I'm doing great. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
What did you do for the New Year? How'd you bring it in?
Nothing. I didn't do anything. We were sort of paying attention to the clock in bed, watching a TV show when the New Year came.
I think totally fine.
We might have missed it.
I mean, but did you? I mean, it's all a construct anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, right now could be New Year if we wanted it to.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just went to a friend's house and he had some games to play and some food to eat. And it's the first time, and since I was like a teenager, early 20s, that like they had the ball drop in New York on TV and like watched that and stuff. And I was like, that's so crazy. It was kind of nostalgic. I liked it.
Oh, cool. That's fun.
I also wanted to share, we shared on our I Love You podcast, I Love You Man podcast, the episode, that we both have the Pattern app, and occasionally it'll send me things about you, and it sent me one yesterday, and so I saved it because I thought it was kind of cute. It said, right away, you and Aaron probably just gravitated towards each other. It feels good to hang out together. There's something really enjoyable about being in each other's presence. You and Aaron feed off each other's energy. It feels good when you get together. Your friendship helps boost each other's confidence, especially in your public lives and when you're out in the world. You two are a great team and would likely make good roommates.
Huh. That's awesome.
How messy are you?
I'm not at all.
Then we probably would make good roommates. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. That's cool.
Of course. Yeah. I agree with all the sentiments.
Me too.
I definitely feel very comfortable and enjoy your company. So.
Yeah. And I like it when you give me presents. Is that what it said? Something about like presents. That. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So our episode today is which I'm assuming is becoming a trend, our annual Ask Us Anything episode. We had several people send in questions. Before we get to that, I wanted to ask you, is there any news on your end when it comes to your life, your music, your career, this podcast, anything that you feel like you'd like to share, people that's happened or is going to happen?
A couple new songs coming out in the next couple months,
nice.
That I'm pretty stoked about. And, you know, we're underway with, Moon Traveler vinyl. So we'll be having more updates on here about that and the timing of it and all that. And yeah, I don't know. I've got, you know, I'm super busy producing and doing Soundstripe. And that's kind of really what is on my plate at the moment. And I got my brother in town right now. He came in last night for a week. Unfortunately, it's because my dad is in the hospital and had a surgery and stuff, but it'll be really good to see him. It's been literally years since I've seen him, so that'll be nice.
Well, all that sounds like really good news.
Yeah.
For those, I asked Aaron how his dad's doing. He said that it seems like he's doing well, so
yeah.
Just so they don't freak out.
So far, so good.
So far, so good, yeah. As for me, on the 1st, I released two free albums to celebrate Pacifico's 25th year as a project. And one is basically a best of album with 25 of our best songs. And then the second one was 25 songs that were just compiled together that I found that I felt like deserved to be out in the world, some are better than others. But they're all songs that have never been released by us before. So
that is so cool. That's a feat.
Yeah. And it went pretty well too. I got a guy to do, his name's Hunter Christie. I don't know if he listens to the podcast or not, but, he is a great, great at making videos and stuff and graphic design. And he created a video for me, basically a commercial for it. And it looks amazing. And, Yeah. So,
so that, cool. That, that's awesome.
That's going on. And then, I've been recording a new EP and doing this, getting that project together. I found some songs that were finished that don't really have a home, and, but they kind of seem like they fit together. Five songs that are all kind of sad songs. So I got together and I recorded all my parts here, and then I'm sending it to my bandmates, and they're going to just add whatever they want.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then I'm going to get into the mixing station with what they've sent me and then see what we've got and, fill any holes that there are, but yeah, it'll be pretty neat to see
that's
what they
sick.
Come up with.
That's awesome.
And I guess that's it. I mean, playing a couple shows here and there, but that's all. I just shared with you off the record that I just lost my job. So if anybody knows me for remote work or wants to book me shows around the Southeast, let me know. Well, I also want to welcome our new Patreon members, Jeremy Sobkowiak. Please let me know if I said that wrong. And Brock Didis. Thank you guys for joining our Patreon.
Thanks, you guys.
And if you would like to be a Patreon member, at the end of the episode, we'll explain about all that a little bit more. Yeah. So I think that's it. I wanted to do one more thing before we got the questions. Would love to start doing this once a year, maybe, because I get it together on my own end, but I never really share it. But I usually get together what anniversaries are coming up each year, like 5 and 10 year, 15 and 20 right. and 25 year anniversaries of albums or music that you and I have worked on. So I have compiled that, and I thought that I would share that.
Sweet.
And you got any quick, you know, thoughts on any of these albums or anything? Feel free to share them. But okay, so 5 year anniversaries, we got nothing that I could find in 2019. But 10 year, 2014, we've got Amberlynn Icon came out, Thousand Foot Crutch, Oxygen Inhale, and Danny Gokey, Hope in Front of Me, all came out that year.
Wow.
You worked 10 on those. 10 years.
Crazy.
Right? 15 years, we've got The Almost, Monster Monster, FM Static, Dear Diary, Thousand Foot Crutch, Welcome to the Masquerade, Emery, In the Shallow Seas We Sail, KJ, 5-2, 5-2 Television, and my first full length, Pacifica, Thin Skin and an Open Heart, are all 15 years old this year.
Wow.
And I guess that would be the 15 years since I've actually met you in person, so that's pretty crazy too. Let's see, 2004, which is 20 years, we got your album Lackluster.
Whoa.
Dead Poetic, New Medicines.
Whoa.
That's Demon crazy. Hunter, Summer of Darkness.
Yes.
Project 86, Songs to Burn Bridges By, Falling Up, Crashing, Telecast, The Beauty of Simplicity, Jeremy Camp, Restored, Cutlass, Sea of Faces, Seven Places, Hear Us Say Jesus, May, Destination B-Sides.
I was a busy boy that year.
Yeah, that's the busiest year so far. Then we got 25 years, 1999. That would be the year that my band began. It was the year that Moon Traveler came out, so only appropriate that the vinyl will reach people's hands the same year.
Crazy.
Rose Blossom Punch, Sorry to Disappoint You, came out. And Sherry Youngwood's Sons and Daughters.
Wow, cool. Crazy.
And then lastly, 30 years, 1994, was the year that you did MXPX Poking At You.
Wow.
Poor Lou Sin came out that year. Blender Head, Prime Candidate for Burnout, and Soul Food 76 Velour.
Wow. Lastly, this is the 50th anniversary of my birth in March. Will be the 50th awesome. Anniversary of my birth.
That's awesome. Sweet. Cool. Well,
that's cool. Thank you for doing that, Matthew. That's really cool.
Yeah, no problem. I just thought it would be neat to kind of put in your head, our heads, what comes out this year and stuff. And like, those are all things, by the way, if you're listening, if there's any of those albums or subjects that you want to cover this year, let us know. And the ones that get the most messages about, we might actually do.
Cool.
But yeah, after that, I think that's all I got until other than the questions. So I guess maybe let's roll into that.
Let's jump in.
Cool. This is in no particular order. I just got them for people and I just put them on here. So here we go. So the first question I have is your song, Not About To. This is from Ty Klein. He says, I more or less would like to know the frame of mind he was in when he wrote that song and what influenced it. is it just Aaron or are there additional members involved?
Interesting.
It was on your second album, The Kindest Days, which came out.
I mean, I honestly don't really remember. I do know that during this time, I was really trying to kind of channel some songs that were more about a kind of a fictitious narrative based on, you know, other people's experiences that I knew or things that I felt or desired in my life. And I think this is just a song about being known and seen and accepted, even in a dark place. But this is really kind of speculative, to be completely honest, because I don't remember. And I mean, also to be really, 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 really honest, a lot of my songs, like, I'll write some lyrics that I like, and then I'll just figure out a way to make it about something and write around that. Just because I like,
sure, yeah.
I liked the way it rolls off my tongue, or it seemed like a good. But yeah, I definitely remember feeling really good about this song. You know, when I wrote it and recorded it. But yeah,
yeah.
I hope that answers your question.
There you go. I mean, it is a great song, and you apparently thought so too, because not only was it on your second album, you also put it on Lackluster too.
Right, that's right, yeah.
Came out, so, yeah. Okay, cool. The next question is from Patrick Kermont. One thing I've always wondered but never asked, because I realize it's none of my business, is what's the deal with 5-Minute Walk? It breaks my heart that there were so many talented artists and amazing releases from that label, but the consensus seems to be that it didn't end well for any of those artists. But I also feel like nobody has really said why that is. Is that something that you want to broach or feel at liberty to speak about?
I mean, I had an unfortunate ending to my relationship with 5-Minute Walk, with Rose Blossom Punch. And, you know, there was a period before that that was just incredible. Like, poor old Lou really felt... we felt kind of homeless. Even though we were signed to a label, we just didn't feel any connection to the label or really any participation from the label. And 5-Minute Walk, Frank and that whole team of people basically brought us in and adopted us. Even though we weren't on the label, we felt like part of that world and toured with those bands and made some incredible memories and connections. And it was a really amazing time. And Frank and I got to be really close, and then we had a falling out, and I'm not going to get into the details of what that was around. We were able to somewhat resolve it years later. I don't, have any contact with him anymore at all. And, but I can't speak for anyone else's experiences. It would really be a lot of hearsay for me to do that, and I don't feel comfortable with that, but hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, I think that was well done. Sure, yeah. And then he added at the end, of course, if this is something that's better not to air publicly, I definitely accept that. It's still none of my business. And Patrick, you know what? It is none of your business. I'm just kidding. No, I think it's perfectly fine to want to know why the people that you care about who make the music that you love may not have felt like they were treated correctly.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, some of the best questions to ask and get answered, especially, are the ones that are none of your business. So I 100%. Applaud you for asking it.
That's the questions we want. Okay, so Luke Brimmer, who we all know, he asks, will Aaron be producing more? And if so, does he hope to work with anyone in particular?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I have taken kind of a pretty big break from producing albums and songs to just really focus on Soundstripe, you know, my day job that I just love and cherish and don't ever want to end. And it is a very fulfilling thing, but I have found you know, I just finished up a record with a band called the Warhawks from New Jersey, and I'm so excited about this record. It feels like my comeback record as a producer, and the band is loving it. And so, yeah, I definitely have the bug. I definitely got burnt out there.
Sure.
You know, towards the end of that, you know, right before I started working with Soundstripe, I was super burnt out. And, you know, a combination of just the industry and the climate changing so much, you know, not only were records not recouping and I wasn't really making any back end on them anymore, which was sort of my business model was to charge, you know, a very modest, reasonable amount up front, you know, enough for me to basically live on and then hope do a good job and hope that it recouped and that I would get back end from it. And that just stopped one day, like someone flipped a switch. Yeah. And not only did that happen, but the budgets got lower. And so, you know, I couldn't afford to hire people to help me with records. I had to do all of it myself. And I mean, I love the work I did in the last couple years. I mean, I like virtually everything I've ever got to work with on. But I was so burnt out. And I feel like I'm coming back into a place where I am excited about getting in the studio and helping artists realize their vision and, executing that with them. And, I do have some plans for some things coming up. I'm not going to get into specifics about what they are, but some pretty exciting stuff that is some of which will happen and some of which is likely to happen in this year. I'm hoping to do a handful of records this year as a producer.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. You tease. All right. Cool. Yeah, I'm obviously excited to hear anything you do.
Aw.
And yeah, I mean, I remember we talked on the phone when we were talking about you producing me, and you said, like, I don't have a gold touch or anything like that. But, you know, at the same time, you do know what you're doing, and it does sound good. So I think you're selling yourself short.
Thanks, Matthew.
Luke had one more question. He said, what was the last vinyl record you purchased, received?
I think the last record vinyl album that I received, it was a gift from my wife, and it was a deluxe pressing of The Cure's Disintegration.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Great
it's
album.
It's very, it's like a double vinyl of it. It's super,
it's
super
like a
deluxe.
Special edition kind of
thing. Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Nice.
What about you?
Last one I purchased, well, the last one I have in my hands, I bought Beach Boys Love You after our last episode. I was like, I love that album and I don't have it. And it was influenced, so I got that.
Cool.
I also, I haven't got them yet, but I bought Elliott Smith XO, and I also bought Josh Rouse 1972, I think is what it is. Those are all good albums. Received for Christmas, my partner got me this thing called Vinyl. It's V-Y-N-L. Basically, I went and had to fill out this extensive survey that was like, you know, what music do you like? What artists do you like? What genres do you like? And then adversely, what do you hate? What artists do you hate? All that kind of stuff. And then some other questions that had nothing to do with vinyl or music, but I think maybe were like, you know, about my personality or something.
Yeah.
And then you could connect your... you could connect your Spotify, your Discogs, and like your All Music or whatever it's called, all in there. And then they will curate albums. And I was supposed to receive it on Tuesday, but I haven't got it yet. But I've got three albums coming to me, and I have no idea what they'll be.
That's pretty cool, though. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
You got to let me know how it
turns
out.
I'm very interested. Yeah, I think I might do a live unboxing on my Instagram. I have no idea whether or not I'll even know who the artists are. And then if I don't know them, will I like them? You know?
Yeah.
It is a subscription thing. So if I don't like it, I'm going to cancel it. But if I do, I might keep it. I don't know.
That's cool.
It, Yeah, we'll see. So, yeah. But what I think what Luke is saying is that people should go and buy our vinyls.
Yes.
Moon Traveler.
Yes.
Uncertainty.
And if you already have give it as a gift.
Yeah. And I believe that Luke's vinyl that he did for you is already sold out, right?
Oh, it sold out in like
an
hour or something like that.
Milliseconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So next question is from Evan Lab. I heard Aaron has a story about a werewolf or something like that. I would love to hear him tell it on the pod. Is there a story about a werewolf?
What? Who is this person?
Evan Lab. I don't know. Do you know an Evan?
I don't know. I don't know. So this is a story that didn't happen to me. It happened to some friends of mine from high school. And so I don't really like telling other people's stories on the podcast. I have told this story to, I'm trying to think. I know I told it to Demon Hunter in the studio, and I'm talking 20 years ago or something like that. But, I don't, but, you know, without completely, you know, dissing this question, basically, some people that I know in high school swear they saw a werewolf. That's as far as I'm going to go with it. To me, it's just sort of an interesting thing, you know, when something paranormal happens and two people witness it at the same time, you know, that's, you can't really say, you know, they were high or it was a swamp gas or whatever, you know, like,
right. Yeah.
There's something more to it. And it's either that they saw something or they're both lying. And,
right.
Yeah. I think from a, you know, psychological standpoint, that is just an interesting thing. Believing people. And it's not that I don't believe these people. I have no reason. I don't know either of these people that well, but I don't have any reason to believe they're not the type of people that went around making sensational claims and trying to get attention and all that stuff. So, that is the most random question that I could have ever thought of on this episode. So I do applaud you for that.
All right, Evan, you perplexed him. Aaron, do you believe in the unknown? I mean, I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast. I feel like you might have discussed this before.
I am someone now who is more skeptical in a way of, you know, just sort of faith-based beliefs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when logic and, you know, I mean, as far as like aliens or UFOs or stuff like that goes, I think, you know, a UFO isn't proof of an alien. And, you know, there is UFOs that they exist. They are real. There are unidentified flying objects or whatever that people call them now. I forget what people call them now. Yeah. But, and, you know, as far as, you know, other life on other planets, even when I was a Christian, I believed that. I didn't understand how that was so offensive and contradictory to the faith. People would get so bent out of shape about it and say there couldn't be aliens because then Jesus would have had to die for them or something. And I was like, that is extremely presumptuous of you. There is nothing explicit in the canonical, you know, Bible that says, you know, aliens are satanic or something. But, you know, just the more we realize that how vast the universe is and how we can't even wrap our heads around it, the more I just think the chances are pretty high of something like that existing. And then all the different problems of, you know, travel and getting, you know, these vast distances and stuff do make me skeptical that they're here, that they're visiting us. But I've always been interested in that stuff. You know, the X-Files is my favorite show ever made, and like anything kind of spacey, alien, sci-fi, I've always been into that. So I do truly, like, you know, the poster on my wall says, I want to believe, you know, I want those things to be true, just because it is exciting to me. The thought of it seems cool and fun and exciting. And it's a hobby of mine, sort of, to think about and talk about. But, you know, I'm without definitive proof, I'm going to remain a skeptic.
Yeah. I mean,
what about you?
I'm a dreamer, so I think that it's easier for me to believe in things. But I am also with you. I do need proof of things. I would like proof of things. I will say that there are things that I have seen or experienced that are pretty crazy. I mean, for one, our government has declassified videos of UFOs. You can see that.
Right.
Years ago, that they declassified all the stuff from out in, what was it, Area 51, mm-hmm. you know, and you can go read that on FBI.gov, and they tell you that they encountered a being and encountered a ship. So what that is, I don't know. Where right. that's from, I don't know. You know, could that be time travel? Could that be between, you know, different realities? Could that be from space or anything else? I have no idea. I myself have seen a photo that my friend took of a room that had a ghost in it, and it was very clearly a person that was also not a person.
Mm-hmm.
So that is pretty crazy, and I don't know how to explain that. I've gone ghost hunting. I didn't really see anything too crazy doing that, but there was a couple things that were a little, you know, like, oh, like, you know, being in the middle of summer and hot everywhere, and then all of a sudden it's really, really cold where I am, and we took photos and there's orbs, you know. It's like, why is it cold and why are there orbs? But then at the same time, like, you know, it could have just been dust or something, you know, who knows.
Yeah.
We went one time to a—
oh no, please go ahead. No, you go ahead. I want to hear more stories.
One time to a church, and they I noticed that there was a cemetery out back, and that the graves had not been settled. Now, does that mean that there was a grave robber that had come recently, or somebody, a serial killer, burying bodies out in the middle of nowhere where I was? Or was that, you know, something more, you know, supernatural is happening? I don't know.
Cool.
And then lastly, you and I have talked about this. I have a friend that he was a roommate of mine for a while. He's a musician, and he went and moved to Washington State for a while and became a Sasquatch hunter.
Yeah.
And he actually last year published a book that's out that I would probably say is the definitive book about Sasquatch. And he has sent me videos and pictures himself throughout the years that it's hard to refute. And I know this person, you know, and
we
I
need
believe,
to have him on the podcast. You know, I would love to have him on the podcast.
He would be more than happy to come on.
That
to
would be
talk
so
about that
cool.
And music and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say I do have the hardest time with like afterlife type stuff. I kind of think that there's a scientific explanation for everything
sure.
that we see. And but I will say, to kind of sum this up, if anything that you just spoke about or that I just spoke about mm-hmm. was revealed to be completely true with irrefutable evidence, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, 100%.
I absolutely would not. Like, the older I get, the more I just realize that we don't know anything. Like, we just really know so little about where we came from and what's out there. And to me, that's part of the fun. And, you know, part of leaving the faith for me was letting go of this desire to definitively know for sure with certainty, which is literally why I named that EP Certainty, that this is the truth. And there's so much freedom when you can just let go of that and just kind of enjoy the experience of not knowing and being open to whatever and discovering whatever and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that lends to basically our creed when we started the podcast, is that we want to learn whatever we can and grow and be proved wrong, because I think that is what makes you stronger and better and smarter and all that kind of stuff.
Having your mind changed can be the greatest experience of your life.
100%. Well, Evan, thank you for that question. Okay. Sean McCorkle asks, when is the Poor Olu reunion happening? The people are ready for it. I guess he listened to our podcast with the band, and I know people have been waiting for the reissues of the other two, I guess three, Poor Lou albums on vinyl. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the vinyls go, you know, I don't have a ton to do with that. We have, the guys and I have been chatting about Straight Six right now. You know, I listened to it in my car the other day for the first time in a really long time. And nice. I was like, yeah, this would be fun to to put on vinyl. And we're talking about even potentially remixing it, because we do have the reels.
Wow.
The 2-inch. But yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know about that. As far as a reunion of any type, I really can only say one thing about that, and that is never say never.
Goonies never say die.
And that's all. Yes. Yeah, that's good too. But yeah, that's all I have to say about that. But thank you for that question.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. Ryan Bird says, why are your posts basically advertisements? Feels like I'm interacting with a bot, not an artist. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that that's directed towards me. I was going to say,
I don't really post, but cool.
it's me. Yeah, that's a tough thing for me. I will say I'm an introvert. I don't like social media. If I didn't have to make posts, I wouldn't make them. If I wasn't trying to promote this podcast, my music, my label, I wouldn't do social media at all, I don't think. So I do it because I have to, but then the way that I do it is really because what I've learned from marketing companies. I remember the last PR company that I hired, they told me that I need to make 3 posts per day per social media. I can have them go to other, like spread it out and like, you know, what's on Instagram, go to Facebook mm-hmm. and stuff, but it needs to be for that. Like if I'm doing on TikTok, then that's for TikTok, you know, like kind of like it needs to be for the social media platform, and that each of those 3 a day need to be engaging. Mm-hmm. Then the other parts of it are like, you know, the hashtags and stuff like that. That's to get people that don't know about this interested in it. So I try to think about hashtags that have to do with the post itself. And you would not believe when I don't do hashtags, the amount of likes and engagement I get as opposed to when I do hashtags. So it's kind of like I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't kind of thing. And I don't really, I'm open to, I mean, honestly, Ryan, if you've got suggestions or if you do marketing and want to take over for it, I really just don't know what to do. I'm posting about what we're doing. I'm asking what you think about, am I engaging people? I want people to really tell us, you know, what do you think? And when I'm asking those questions, they aren't, you know, rhetorical. I do want response. And then I'm letting you know how you can find it. You know, if it's about the podcast, it's like, hey, you know, if you want to hear it, this is where you can go hear it. And if you want to be a Patreon, this is what you get. And I do put those almost on every post just because I don't know who's seeing the post. And I love that maybe you're seeing it and seeing them every time. And so therefore to you, it's like, geez, every time I'm seeing this, but you know, there might be someone that only sees it once or it's their first time seeing it. And for them, I would like them to have the information. So I don't know. I'm open to suggestions. I mean,
yeah. What do you think, Aaron? So there's a couple thoughts I have. One is I do not like posting on social media. I absolutely hate it. It feels so embarrassing and vulnerable and weird to me. Mm-hmm. I do, however, absolutely love interacting with people. And the problem is the way social media is set up now, with the way the algorithms are and the way they, you know, nerf posts and want you to pay to get visibility and all this stuff, is it's super discouraging. You know, it doesn't, mm-hmm. it does not entice me to be active. I randomly was on the Wayback Machine last night. I don't know if you guys don't know about this. It's just this crazy website where they just took snapshots of the internet for the last, I don't know, 30 years or something like that. And you can look up, but I found my old website. I actually found my old MySpace page too.
That's awesome.
I remember MySpace was so cool. It wasn't really algorithmic. It was chronological. You, If you posted something, everyone that followed you saw it.
Yep.
People were posting on your page. You were interacting with them. You know, if there's some platform out there that I don't know about that is more like old school MySpace, that is chronological, that is, you know, if you follow me, you will see something that I post, you know, because right now it baffles my mind. I don't even understand.
Yeah.
You know, I'll make a post that is super relevant to what, or I think is super relevant to the people who are following me, and none of them even see it. And then I make the most irrelevant post and it gets more likes than anything I've ever posted. And so there's something, you know, fishy going on that is infuriating. It just makes me not care. I don't even open my social media. Most days I don't even look at it because it is nothing to me. It doesn't have a value. And for me, I'm not going to speak for Matthew. What's frustrating for me is I am not under this delusion that I am going to go out and quadruple my fan base and become some international superstar. I'm literally just trying to get the people that want to engage with me and already support me and already are fans of what I do, give them awareness of what I am currently working on. And I can't even do that with these platforms. I literally can't even do that. And so it's super frustrating, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't honestly have much hope that there is anything to do. I don't think there's some, thing that if someone tells me there's this one thing I'm missing, I'm going to be like, oh, dang. You know, I just see it as my social media presence and internet presence in general as a complete failure. That's how I see it. And it's difficult.
You're not alone.
You know, I mean, I've tried to get certified or whatever they call it on Instagram. I've submitted that like 10 times and they've rejected me every single time. Huh. And there's people with way less followers that are certified. There's people with, I don't understand what it is. And if you know what we should be doing that we're not, please let us know. If anybody does, please let us know. If anybody out there is really good at this stuff and wants to help, let us know. Because, you know, it is just a sea of garbage. It is bots. It is garbage. It is, you know, procedurally generated bullshit out there. And I just don't have any faith in it. That's why the only thing I can really rely on right now is my mailing list, because I know that will directly show up in your inbox if I send an email. And therefore, if you're listening to this and you feel like you don't really hear from me, please go to AaronSprinkleMusic.com and sign up on my mailing list, because that is, like I said, the only thing I have any faith in anymore. That's a great question. It's a really important topic for people in Matthew and I's position, because it's our only platform, and it's the one that everybody tells us we need to focus on the most, and I feel the most insecure in, the most lost in. I know how to make a song that I think the people that like me will like, but I don't know how to let them know that it exists. I mean, people still are like, oh, wow, this blank books thing is crazy. I didn't even know that existed. Or, oh, wow, this song you put out is cool, that, you know, that you put out 10 years ago that I've never even heard of, you know? So it's like, super discouraging.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things. I looked up while you were talking. Apparently, every post that you post on, and I just looked up Facebook and Instagram, but every post that you post only goes to 6-10% of your actual followers. If people listening, I mean, like, if he's got 1,000 followers, then, you know, that means anywhere from 60 to 100 people actually got to see it.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to like, share, comment. And that's why I put, I tag people, and that's why I make stories and tag people on that. And that's why I do hashtags, because I'm just trying to get as much visibility for this podcast, your music, my music, you know, as we can. And I can't, the thing is that without me paying, I can't see that it's working. I just can hope it works, you know?
Right. And I've tried everything. I've paid, you know, to boost things. I've never seen any significant results from any of it personally. Not enough to,
I've seen some,
to kill myself over. Yeah.
I will tell you, Aaron, MySpace does still exist.
Oh, I know.
Just go back to it.
I know.
You can just start a revolution.
Yeah, man, I'm thinking about it. So, but thanks for the super discouraging question. I appreciate it.
yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a tough thing. I mean, it really, I think that for me, it's either I'm not going to do it or I'm going to do it and try to do it as thorough as I can. Each of my posts take like 20 minutes to do, and it's super freaking aggravating. So I don't know. I'm sorry if it's annoying. And like Aaron said, any suggestions, help, ideas, totally open to it. We're just trying to share what we're doing and what's going on. And I hate to say it, but it is an advertisement because I mean, it's just us saying this is what we're doing, you know, and this is how you can be a part of it. Okay. Toby Hawkins says, Matt, how did you feel when Jeremiah found the 2005 recordings? Were they something you'd thought about over the years, or did it just come out of nowhere? I believe he's talking about the EP I released in 2022 called 0522. And I had started recording an album in 2005 with Jeremiah Edmond. And it was going to be a full length. And then he joined Manchester Orchestra, and I joined Monday in London, and the songs never got finished. On the file, we had four songs that had drums, and I think one that even had bass and guitar. And then also at the same time, actually, our friends Zach and Kenneth from ZK Productions, they found a song that the original Pacifico group had recorded at the same time, really, 2004, 2005, that was completed but never mixed and mastered. And so they found those in the pandemic, and then I finished them and put them out. Yeah, I most definitely thought about it. Most definitely. I mean, like, that when you're a starving artist and recording is very, very expensive, anytime you've got some bit of something that's out there that, like, the one I thought about the most was Suddenly. That was the one that was finished and just was never mixed or mastered. And I was like, that exists. It's done. Where is it? I want to hear it. You know, because I knew that it was done at a really great studio, Tree Sound Studios here. Elton John is recorded there.
Wow.
Poison is recorded there. Outkast,
yes.
Smashing Pumpkins, you know, like lots of artists have recorded there. And we over several nights, we came in after everyone left and we recorded throughout the night there. And we knew it sounded great because Zach and Kenneth are amazing producers. They went on to do like Cartel and what's that other band that they do? Anyway, they've done lots of big artists and stuff. But anyway, that was the one I thought about the most. But I definitely did think about the other one, too, because it was just like, you know, I remember in particular the drums, the way that we did it is because I was going out on my own for the first time. And I had all these friends and I didn't have a band. So I just asked all these drummers to show up and gave them songs, and they picked what songs they wanted. And they went in there and they would play the part. And it was really cool because there was no, like, you know, infighting or anything. Everybody was working together. And so, like, while one drummer was in there, you know, and he'd do a take, and then they'd be like, what do you think? Then there would be like a drummer be like, can I say something to him? And he'd be like, hey, how about doing a flange on the bow, you know, whatever. Like, he would give him notes, and then it would, like, they were all in their best behavior and trying to one up each other. And so, like, I got really great drum parts because of that too. And
oh, that's cool.
And that was going to be the idea, is that every song was going to have a different drummer, different bass player, different guitar player in each thing. Which is crazy because I don't think I'd had the concept for Pacifico being a collective yet, but that it was already, I guess, in motion at that point. But yeah, I'm glad that he found it. I was very surprised that he found it, that it was intact, and very fortunate to be able to finish that and put it out. And I'm very proud of those recordings. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Aaron, Toby asks you, how did the Beach Boys cover thing come about? And did you know that it got played on British national radio in 2002? My dad, his dad's name is John, texted me to tell me they were playing you on Bob Harris's show.
Wow.
So I guess first question, Well, I guess I can go about that. So I looked it up. It was in August 31st of 2002. Your cover of the Beach Boys. Which song was it? Oh man,
I did a mashup of. I Know There's an Answer and Hang On to Your Ego. I combined two songs,
which is incredible. It played right before you was Ben Queller, Wasted and Ready, and right after you was Big Star, September Nerves.
Whoa. I did not know that it was played on that. I did not know. That is super cool. So the label that I was working with, it was a project of theirs, and they asked me to be on it. And I'd always loved Hang On to Your Ego, particularly that, incarnation of that song and what I knew about the story behind it. And I was working at the compound, the original compound, in the basement of Tooth and Nail in Magnolia neighborhood in Seattle. And I just did it. I decided to combine the two, not realizing that it was going to be an issue because.
Oh, right.
Technically, those two songs are separate songs that were written. They were published by different publishers, and I don't remember if like Hang On to Your Ego was just Brian Wilson, and then I Know There's an Answer was Brian Wilson and Mike Love. There was something like that about it. I could look it up, but yeah. I'm being lazy. But basically what I found out was that both Mike and Brian had to listen to it and approve it. And it created
that's awesome.
It literally created a new song. Like as far as a publishing standpoint, and you know, I had no idea it was going to do this. And so they got approved, it ended up on the record. And then like 8 years ago or something weird like that, Brian Wilson tweeted about that song.
Yeah. I remember that. That's so cool.
I have a screenshot somewhere in my Google Photos of that tweet. But that was like, you know, that was the craziest thing ever to me. You know, I mean, as far as I know, I don't know if it was literally him, you know, who knows if he's literally
if it's part of his team or
doing it, but Brian Wilson tweeted about my cover rendition of that song, which was pretty sweet. And it's fun, you know, it's a fun, weird cover that I, you know, just captured sort of a moment of what I was working with in that studio and kind of where my head was at. And, you know, the drum loops and stuff on it and stuff. It was fun.
It's a great cover. I did not know about the publishing issues. I did look it up. You're right. It was written originally by Brian Wilson and Terry Sacken, and that was the Hang On to Your Ego.
Okay.
And then it was written about ego death and LSD and such. And then apparently, which doesn't surprise me, Mike Love didn't like that.
Yeah.
So then he came in and they changed it to... I Know There's an Answer, and Mike helped write the lyrics.
Yeah. That lines up with what I had heard at the time.
Yeah. And I love that you mashed them together. That album in particular is just a great album. I Wasn't Made for These Times by Sixpence is so good. And then that's actually how I found out about Dolores from that. And if I understand from him, he was in the studio with you recording when... this was coming about.
Yeah. It's funny too, because I fell in love with Hang On to Your Ego because of a cover, because of the Pixies cover of it, which is kind of hilarious. I covered a cover.
That's awesome.
Sort of.
I don't think I've heard that. I'll look that up.
It's dope. It's really good.
All right. Toby has a question for both of us. What are your most transcendent moments playing a gig or at a gig?
I don't know. I think weirdly, the show that I played in 2018. No, sorry. I'm going to start over. As far as playing a show goes, the show that I played in 2019 for the vinyl release of Sorry to Disappoint You. I was still living in Tennessee and I came out here and we did a set of Aaron Sprinkle, Fair, and Rose Blossom Punch. And it had really been such a long time since I'd performed. I only performed one show, and it wasn't even in Tennessee for the 12 years that I lived there. I only performed once. So I really hadn't played in like a decade. And all of the reasons that I didn't play were fear-based. Like, I just was so uncomfortable performing. And I just always got so nervous and never felt like it went well. And I just didn't really care about that stuff that night. I just was having fun. And, you know, we played three sets of, you know, basically my songs, you know, and it was so fun. You know, it was in this like 300 capacity venue, and there was about 500 people in it. So we were breaking like fire codes and stuff like that. But it was just so fun. It was what I always wished it would be like to perform, because I wasn't, I just wasn't worried about it. You know, I joke now that it's sort of like this thing where I wasn't aware of this at the time, but almost every other show I've ever played in my entire life, I had this feeling like there was a big scout in the audience, you know, looking to sign me to a big contract. And if I screwed it up, you know, that there was something really on the line for that performance, and that I wasn't, I didn't have the latitude to be human and to not be perfect. And I knew that I was going to be imperfect. So that was inevitable. So I just, before it even started, I felt like a failure. And this is all self-imposed trauma. It's, and which is 99% of my trauma is something that I did to myself. So that was great. And then I think I've seen some pretty great shows. I got to see the I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got tour for Sinead O'Connor at the Paramount Theater, which was absolutely incredible. I got to see OK Computer in Oregon at Grange Hall. And, you know, that was surreal. But my sister and I went to see Elvis Costello at the Paramount in, I want to say, the early 2000s, probably. And at the end of the show, he did something that became a lot more popular later. And maybe it was at the time, but I don't go to a ton of shows. So, but he, for his like third encore, he turned the PA off and he just did an a cappella song. And
oh, that's cool.
Just hearing Elvis Costello's voice go directly into my ears without a microphone or speakers involved was really a spiritual experience. You know, I just cried. And then the 2006 Paul McCartney tour, I took Elliot and my mom and dad to that. And I don't think I ever stopped crying. I think I literally cried the entire show. So that was obviously like an out of body experience almost. But kind of a long answer. Sorry, go ahead. What are yours?
Yeah, quit sharing your feelings. I think for me, playing a gig was a very similar situation. I mean, last year I did an album release show for Self-Care here in Atlanta, and I had not played, I mean, I played some shows in Atlanta, but I mean, to nobody, you know what I'm saying? And I hadn't played with the guys that record on the album all together ever. We'd only recorded together over the years, sometimes in different, you know, this drummer with a different bass player, or that bass player with a, you know, whatever. I mean, for a while they didn't even meet each other, but they're on the same album kind of thing too. So, but they all came in town, we rehearsed, we played a show, and the show was sold out, and I had so many friends there, and it was just same kind of, I mean, honestly, very similar to what you're saying. Like, I just kind of just was in trying to enjoy the evening and kept reminding myself, just enjoy this, you know? And, there was a moment at the very last song where we were just kind of riffing for a bit, and I just kind of went around and I took a moment to look at each of them, and I was just teary eyed, and I was like, you know, if this never happens again, at least I got to do this, you know? And, it was really, really beautiful. So that would probably be my gig. I will also say that at my wedding I had, we did 10 songs, and I got every, my friends that played music to kind of learn the drums for this, you learn the bass for that kind of thing. And then we rehearsed a couple of the songs, but some of the songs we weren't able to rehearse because of time. So they just got up and played them. But that was incredible too, to see my friends play together, to be able to play. I only did a couple songs because it was, you know, I was busy. That was pretty incredible too. Those are probably two of my favorites. Seeing shows, I'm with you. I've seen lots. I went to the OK Computer tour too. That was
incredible. That's cool.
I think when you were talking, the ones that really hit me the most, Jeremy Enoch came and did, what is it, the Frog Queen album? And he did that here in Atlanta all the way through, and I most definitely cried at some point. It was beautiful and amazing. And if anything, made me really upset because the place was only about half full and really should have had more people there. But that was really, really incredible. I also saw David Bazan once in a old house that was now a church or whatever, but like really old building. And it was just him, and he just sang and played either keys or acoustic, and it was really, really good. And there was a point where he turned off all the stuff and just sang with no mics and such.
Oh,
and
yeah. It
was just beautiful. And lastly, there was the second time I saw Rufus Wainwright, I saw him at the Atlanta Botanical Gardens, and it was just him and a piano and just him and an acoustic. He went back and forth between them, and it was just so beautiful, and he played so beautifully, and it was just, I cried during that too. That was incredible. So those would be the ones I think that emotionally really transcended me the most.
That is sick, dude. That's so awesome.
Toby asks, will there be any direct song collaborations between the two of you, sharing writing / vocals, etc.? I mean,
we should do that.
Yeah. I'm down. Send me some songs. I'll or some riffs, or I can do the same anytime.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great idea.
If we did that, we definitely should give it to the Patreon people first, and then not even tell people about it until after they've had it for a little bit. Namey Louder asks, how'd you guys get to be so cool? And no, that's not a real question. My mama birthed me this way.
Is that really Namey's question?
That was Namey's question. So that was the only question.
Namey's a friend of mine. He's an artist that I worked with in Tennessee. He's super talented.
Nice.
And he's a really sweet dude. He's a great, great people. So my answer is, how did you get so cool, Namey?
There you go. Caleb the Spy asked a question that we've already answered, but is Aaron working on any new music? Just rewind and we'll let you know. I probably should have put that with the other one that asked it and said these two people asked that. But, you know, I said I didn't want to look at these too much. But Phil Vecchio asks, how many states and countries have you each visited? No particular reason, but traveling is in the title of your show, so it seems appropriate.
Ooh. There's only like a tiny little bit of states I haven't been in, you know, if you count driving through on a tour or something. There's, I think, like probably five or around there states I haven't been to.
Yeah. I think the rule is that you have to put your foot down on, like, you can't be in a car, you can't be in a plane. You have to literally put your foot
down. Well, with the size of my bladder, chances are I have put my foot down in all of the states I've driven through. So
there you go. I'm the same in the states. I haven't been to Alaska or Hawaii, and I'm missing like the Dakotas, like that little area up there where
I've been through all that. It's northeast that I'm missing a few of. Like Maine and Massachusetts. Yeah. I think I actually might have been to Massachusetts, but the poor Lou guys would remember better than me. But country wise, I've been to Canada a whole bunch because of where I live, and Mexico a couple times, and or maybe just once actually, and Germany once. But literally I went on a mission trip in 1989 with my church as a child, and we went to Germany, and we didn't go anywhere else. Like, we didn't travel in Europe. We were literally in Germany the right. entire time. So, and that is, yeah, that's it.
That's it. Yeah. My country is about the same. I've been to the USA. I have been to Brazil. I had a guitar player when I lived in North Carolina that, was from Brazil, and he moved back. He owns a coffee farm there, and I've been there, and I'm supposed to go back soon. And actually played a show there too. So that was cool.
That's awesome.
I've been to England a couple times. I have a friend that lives there, and I last was there last year, and my wife is from Germany. So I've been to Germany a lot, and we'll be there again this year. And yeah, that's it. I was supposed to go to Canada on some tours, but every time that it was planned, it, for some reason, it kept getting canceled, no matter what tour I was on. So, yeah. Well, that concludes our Ask Us Anything. I want to thank everybody for sending in their questions. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you did not send us questions, you can always send us questions. We do include questions in our podcast from time to time. You can do that through our email, moontravelingpodcast@gmail.com. We also have an Instagram and a Facebook group. Both are just Moon Traveling Podcast. If you go to our Spotify podcast area, there is a place you can leave us a voicemail. And we have shared people's voicemails online on the episodes. So, yeah, do that. Definitely want to thank our Patreon members. Thanks again to Jeremy and Brock for joining us. And if you'd like to be a member, please check it out. You get free stuff. There's t-shirts, stickers. We give you discounts to our merch. You also get episodes early and bonus episodes, as well as extra content. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Keep in touch. Let us know what you want to hear on this podcast. Let us know what you want to hear just from us in general. Tell us how wrong we were about something or whatever. Whatever your heart's desire, just hit us up.
Yeah. And if you're a Patreon, I guess hold on, and we're going to have our little bit of a Patreon monthly meetup at the end. So thanks again, guys. Follow us where you can, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. Bye. Thanks, Matthew.
Bye. I'm going to make you some